you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, telling our ministry of empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly today is this wonderful and glorious day, and I am excited. I'm excited about what God is doing in and through and among his people. Truly he is a glorious and a wonderful God, a God that have all power in his hand and a God that can do all things but fail. And I am so glad that you joined me on today, and I know you in for a blessing. So I want you to grab your Bibles and come on in and make yourself right at home, and we're going to look at the word of the Lord on today. I tell you, we're going to go all the way into the Old Testament on today, and we're going to be looking at 1 Kings, chapter number 17, verses number 20 through 24, and 1 Kings, chapter 18, verses 37 to 41, and we're going to be talking about Elijah, a man of prayer. I tell you, children of God, this is a time that's never before that we need to pray and call upon that wonderful name of Jesus. He promised that if we call on him, he will hear and answer our prayer. Amen. He told us that he will be with us in six trouble, and in seven trouble he was no wise would he forsake us. And so I encourage you on today to look up and live as never before. And so let's take a look at 1 Kings chapter number 17, verses number 20 through verse number 24. And as you're getting that, I'm going to pray and ask God's blessing. Father, we come right now in the mighty name of Jesus, in the master's name of Jesus, and ask, dear God, that you would just move by your power divine. We ask, oh God, that you bless this lesson on today. Bless your hearers, oh God, as they not only be a hearer of your word, but, Lord, let them be a doer of your word. God, we know and we recognize you got all power in your hand, and you can do all things but fail. We take authority right now over the airwaves, and, Lord, we give it to you. You the one that have all power and authority, and we acknowledge your sovereignty even on this Lord session. And God, we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Our focus and what we're going to be talking about on today is Elijah's ministry through effectual prayer revealed the true God influenced by the environment and raised the dead to life. And so let's take a look at that scripture. And it said, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child so come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chambers into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. Now let's look at 1 Kings chapter number 18, verses 37 to verse number 41. And it reads on this line. It says, hear ye me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Let's look further. And he goes on to the saying, and then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God, and the Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, and let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kisha, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And so far the reading of the scripture on today. Let us take a look at the word of the Lord on today as we look here at Elijah being a man of prayer. The scripture states, amen, that he was a man of prayer. Let's look at that. Oh, how important, and as we recognize, too, as the children of God, we know the importance of prayer and how it is important to the church of Jesus Christ. As his people are consumed by a compassionate exercise of prayer, God performs salvation. He performs healing by his miraculous power. Now, the fulfillment of the very purpose of God require a prayerful church. Now, that's critical. One of the things that God has been laying upon my heart and things so diligently that it is very critical that the children of God go back to that which he has given to us, and what he's given unto us is the ability to pray and call upon his wonderful, wonderful name. Now, to move among his people, but he's looking for his people to call on him, to call on him in and through prayer and calling us back to that place of prayer. Now, the only limitation God has are those that are self-imposed. He has ordained that some things are accomplished only by prayer. Now, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You'll find that over in Matthew chapter number 17, verses 21. Also Mark chapter number 9, you'll see that as well. Of all of the mighty forces that are at work in the world, none will influence the destiny of a nation and individual like the fervent praying of God's people. Yet prayer is an exercise that is easily discarded and set aside because it demands sacrifice and also persistence. Now, it has become all too easy to substitute talent, leadership skill and communication and charismatic charm for devotion to prayer. And that's very critical for us to recognize because God told me, he promised, he said, Helen, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it through the vehicle of prayer. Now, prayer demands our complete and total surrender to God and his word. Prayer is born out of love for the things of God and a desire to be in God's presence. Too often, love for the things of the world has crowded out time spent in the presence of God. And sadly, if God set any time at all with many people, they give him but a fragmented of their time, a fragmented part of our time. And look, God is wanting all of his people, all of that individual. He wants you as a child. He wants you to yield over to him. He wants you to have a yes down in your spirit, in your heart, and your mind. Now, his brother goes on to let us know that then they give the most productive moment of their time to trivial pursuit that satisfy their own desires. And that's not what God desires for us. He desiring for us, God, is to give him the most earnest and the most productive moment in your life. Give that over to God. Not when you're tired after you've had a long day and your whole energy level has been spent. But he wants the walk with you in the coolness of the day, the best part of your day. He wants to speak to you and talk with you and commune with you. And so we as the children of God, we have to redeem the time and we have to bring the time back so that he was able to commune with us as the children of God. That is his good pleasure, to have dialogue with us, to talk with us, to minister to our hearts and minds as never before. Now, if the church ever realized the unlimited power of prayer, there is no telling the impact that it will make upon the world. Now, Jesus emphasized the power of prayer when connected by faith. Now, you can find that over in Mark chapter number 11 and verse number 24. And you can read that in your own time. But faith is the key to the power of prayer. Now, the child of God must continually guard your faith, lest the devil steals it and thereby remove the necessary ingredients to obtaining answers to our prayers. Now, let's look at that. That's over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. It said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, child of God, it is beautiful and it's a profound thing as we diligently seek him. We can't just seek him one time, but as we diligently seek him, he is going to bless us in a mighty and a special way. Now, let's look further. Prayer without faith is futile. Perhaps a lack of faith is in the faithfulness of God's word account for the feeble whimper of powerless prayer. We have to have faith, total faith in God and his ability. It is time for the child of God everywhere to raise their voices in unison and cry out for an end-time revival. Merely going through the motion of prayer without fervency and desire wastes our time. Let us redeem the time in this evil day by praying fervently and with all power and things and being excited about coming to God in prayer. Now, as we do that, we are going to see God do some mighty and great things in and through and among our lives. Now, let's look further here as we look at the scripture says here that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we find that over in the book of James, chapter number 5 and verse number 16. Let's look further. It said, let us redeem the time in this evil day by praying, calling on the name of the Lord. And now it is through the power of prayer, personal holiness and consecration will result in an effectual ministry of soul winning. When we fan the faint flames of revival, when we maintain a continual posture of prayer, amen, we'll see God's hand move more and greater and mightily in our houses, in our churches, all throughout the land, because we are petitioning him, we're calling on him, we're crying out to him and saying, Lord, we need you to move. We want to see your glory in your house. We want to see your power moving, rest, ruling, and abiding in our house as never before. Now, a man of light passion, in recognizing the powerful praying of Elijah, we sometimes assume that this hero of faith was endued with a nature unlike our own. By assuming him to be without the human frailties and passions that hindered our own faith, we excuse ourselves from the responsibility of prayer in a wondrous result. Now, by ignoring Elijah's weaknesses and passion that mirrors our own, we subconsciously justify our lack of passion for prayer and substituting it with the place of our shrewd intellectualism or knowledge of the scripture. Now, let's look at James 5 and verses 17 through 18. Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, let's look to prayer for the drought. Let's take a look at that. It may seem strange that a man's prayer might effectually affect the weather, but that is precisely what occurred because of a fervent praying of Elijah. Fervent praying moves God, but listless and faithless prayers that are crafted solely to impress others or to appease the conscience of the participant do nothing to move the hand of God. And that's the critical thing. We want the hand of God to move in the earthly realm on behalf of his people in circumstances and situations that is going on or that we are being faced with. Now, as we call on him fervently, we will see him. We must be willing to exercise ourselves in the faith-producing, mountain-moving prayer if we are going to influence God. Such praying is not denied by volume, but by intensity and purpose. It matters not how loudly we pray, so long as we have the ear of God. Now, that's critical. When we pray, we want to have the ear of God. We want to have his attention. We want to have an audience with him to be able to talk with him and to share with him what is really truly in our hearts and in our mind and what is going on. Now, Elijah praying reverberated throughout the heaven. It was not characterized by worldliness or physical demonstration. It just displayed a calm assurance of the faithfulness of God. Elijah had faith in God and prayed that it would not rain, and the rain was suspended from the nation of Israel for 3.5 years. If at the praying of one prophet, God would stop the heaven, but it should not rain, how much greater things are possible through the unified praying of the body of Christ. Now, that's the part that's very, very critical. It's the unifying praying of the body of Christ. When the body of Christ come together and pray, that's where we're going to see some great things that's going to transpire and happen. Now, over in Ephesians 3, verses 20 through 21, it said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Now, let's look at this other aspect here about our Elijah. He lived by the brook. Elijah was a Tishbite and was an inhabitant of the land of Gilead and a mountainous plateau east of the Jordan River. After prophesying before King Ahab of the 3.5 years of famine that was to befall Israel, God told Elijah to flee to an obscure hiding place beside the brook. Now, this brook is identified in the scripture as being before Jordan, an expression that usually referred to an area east of Jordan and near Gilgad. Being a Gileadite, Elijah was probably quite familiar with the sites along the modern scholars are uncertain of its exact location. Now, a number of outstanding gourds are in this region, and the most notable of which is the Canon of Jabbok River. And in this rugged area of streams and gorges, God places Elijah in safety from those who sought his life. Situated in the obscured gorge before the Jordan, Elijah found a sanctuary of rest from his oppressor. God supplied all his needs, provided pure water from the brook, and sent to him bread and meat by means of the raven. How wonderful it is to realize that even the fowls of the air are subject to perform the will of God on behalf of the saints. Now, twice each day, morning and evening, the raven brought Elijah food to eat. After many days, he passed, and the famine had severely crippled the land, and suddenly the brook that had wonderfully supplied Elijah's need also became dry. And perhaps Elijah questioned why it seemed that God had now forsaken him. In our own life experience, we are so easily discouraged when the sources of our blessing are suddenly shaken, cease to flow. Now, how soon we forget the provision of God and allow ourselves to twist and turn in great anxiety. But we need to rejoice and give thanks to God in all things, Philippians 4. Verses 4 through 11. God will always supply our need if we will trust in him. Paul the Apostle wrote, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verses 19. We must trust God. Now, let's look at another one, at the widow that was sustained and kept by God. Now, just as it was seen that this condition or situation had become bleak, Elijah heard the voice of the Lord. And God is always right on time. He will rescue us from despair if we are willing to listen to his command. Now, Elijah instructed the God instructed Elijah to go and see, for there was a woman, a widow woman, who he had to command to sustain Elijah. Now, the journey from the land of Gilgal to Sephatar, which was in the suburb of Zidon, was a long and torturous journey that he had to go through a lot of hills and through the mountains of the northern Palestine. And as Elijah passed through the land of Samaria on his 100-mile journey, it was likely that he saw the rottenness, carcasses of dead animals and decapitated bodies of people and things, such as the scene would not lend itself to be the building up of one's faith, but it was the lifting of one's spirit. But it was the test of Elijah that was important, that he was being tested. Now, let's stop for just a moment. God is going to test us as the children of God, no matter what you're going through. It's probably just a test because he want to get glory out of you. He want to know if you're going to trust him. Are you going to stay with what he's given unto you? Or are you going to throw in the towel and just say, you know, this is not God, and then turn back? But it's the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man. That's what's going to avail. And so even though Elijah was going through all these things, guess what? And seeing all these dreadful and dreadful condition, he still yet has faith in the ability of God. I come to tell you, whatever is weighing at your spirit today, no matter what is coming up against you and is draining and pulling at you, God wants you to, no matter what, to continue to keep your faith in him. In spite of what we see, in spite of what is going on around us, God said in his word, if we would acknowledge him first, he would direct our path. And so as we acknowledge him, he would direct our path. Now let's look forward a little bit more in regards to this man Elijah as we move expeditiously and move further on into his life and things. He was a man of earnest prayer. He constantly stayed in prayer. At least 3.5 years of drought throughout Israel, God spoke to Elijah to appear before Ahab. And what a strong commitment of faith that required Elijah, for Ahab was vigorously sought to take his life because of the drought. Yet God's word, Elijah was willing to obey God and find Ahab. So desperate was the famine that Ahab had sent Obadiah, the governor of his house, to find water and pastures for the remaining horses and mules that were still alive. Now, Ahab took on one search party with him and sent Obadiah with another search party. And as they was going, Obadiah met Elijah on his way to meet King Ahab. And Obadiah fell on his face before Elijah, for he was greatly honored, the man of God. And Elijah promptly ordered Obadiah to tell his master, King Ahab, that Elijah had come to see him. Hearing the word of Elijah, Obadiah was overcome with fear that Elijah would not be there when the king found him. Now, fearing for his life, he appealed to Elijah not to send him upon the dangerous and errant, reminding the prophets of his heroic hiding for hundreds of the Lord's prophet in the cave when Queen Jezebel sought their lives. Elijah gave Obadiah his word that he would remain there until King Ahab should appear that day. Upon finding Elijah, Ahab charged him as being the one who would trouble Israel by bringing a drought upon the land. Now, let's take a look at the shift here that he prayed for rain. Now, amidst the bleakness of the barren hills and the plain, Elijah challenged the faith of Israel. 3.5 years of harsh survival beneath the penetrating rays of the desert sun had not softened the heart of King Ahab or the nation of Israel. Only showdown upon Mount Carmel was convinced the wicked idolaters of Baal that they had forsaken the one and true God who would save them from their dilemma. Now, upon the summit of this obscure mountain, Elijah prayed earnestly to the Lord, and God caused there to be a great rain upon the mountain of Israel. And this great rain did not appear suddenly without Elijah's faith being sorely tested. However, Elijah prophesied that there would be a sound of abundance of rain before even there was a cloud in the sky. Now, Elijah expressed his faith in God based on the promise of God, and in so doing bolstered his own faith and the faith of others. If we will but believe God, all things are possible. Matthew 17, verses 20 to 21. Because Elijah spoke boldly concerning that which he could not see through the eyes of his flesh, his argumented and strengthened his own faith towards God. Now, while Elijah was feasting, Elijah was fasting and praying. And that's what happens sometimes. Some people are feasting while others are fasting and praying and calling upon the name of the Lord. And I come to tell you and encourage your heart, let us call upon God as never before out of a sure consolation of the hope that is set before us as we cry out unto him. We are not a people without a remnant and without a plan that God has already laid up for us as a people of God. Now, in my conclusion of this lesson, even though we have to expeditiously move forward in things, God has chosen to use common vessels of clay like us to bring to naught the power of darkness. Now, through the power of intercessory prayer, we can make a difference in our world. We do not need to think that God cannot use us because we are weak in our humanity. Rather, God can use us because we are subject to doubt, fear, human passion. Elijah was a man that was the same, had the same weaknesses, yet God responded to his prayer. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen, yea, things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, God desires men and women who would give themselves selflessly to prayer and fasting. It is so much easier and more gratifying to the flesh to indulge ourselves in feasting and fellowship rather than in fasting and prayer. But we fortify the benefit of end-time apostolic revival when we pursue after the pleasure at the expense of our relationship and communion with God. Prayer is born out of love for God and a desire to be in his presence. Further, it is essential to our being able to reap the harvest that God desires for the church to gather in these end times. Let us give ourselves continually to prayer that God's blessing and power might be manifested to the world steeped in moral and religious perversion of every kind. If God is willing to save the city of Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of 10 righteous souls, how much more will he persevere and preserve the church of Jesus Christ in this wicked hour? The church is the only lighthouse of hope for the world darkened by sin and immorality. May the fervent, effectual prayers of God's people rescue sinners from their impending doom and judgment from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, children of God, I speak to every intercessor. I speak and charge every gate dweller. I charge every general. I charge every man, woman of God that will pray and call upon the name of the Lord to get back on the wall, get back in the gap, stand and pray and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as never before, that we can see his mighty hand move on behalf of his people. Amen. There is power, wonder-working power between your nose and your chin. That's your mouth to pray, to call upon them, your voice, using your voice and your faith to call upon the name of the Lord, because in the name of the Lord there is power. As we call him in his name and we come together and pray as never before. So I pray that God will give you new strength. I pray that God will undergird you. I pray that God will fortify you as you go back and start calling on his name, fasting and praying and going into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and watch him move by his power divine on your behalf because you dare to call upon his name. Father, we thank you for this lesson on today. We thank you, dear God. May you stir up our hearts that revival will come back to the land, because there are people that are crying out unto you and calling upon your name as never before. Let us cry loud and spare not, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we call upon your name and say, Father, have thine own way. Bless we your people. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to encourage you as never before, be a woman of prayer and be a man of prayer. Take that gift that God has given unto the church and to his people and use it and utilize it for the upbuilding of God's kingdom. May God bless you is my prayer. Bye-bye.